I'm going to say it. I feel like the most powerful gentleman in all of college football, the commissioner of the SEC, Greg Sankey. Good morning, Greg. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. It's good to be with you.
Do you get called that a lot, the most powerful guy?
It's been written, and I usually say, you know, I think that's the wrong term. That's respectfully, I think you want to be influential and effective.
Mm-hmm.
And to the extent I'm both influential and effective, that gives you
that's
some
better. Okay.
Status, I guess.
I love that you're here at this very day because the headlines yesterday, the Big Ten digging in their heels. There is no chance we're doing anything expansion-wise until the SEC goes to 9 games. Your move, Greg Sankey.
Well, I saw some of those headlines. I haven't talked through what that means. You know, we're going to make our decision based on our needs, our purposes. And, you know, the Big Ten years ago went to 9 games when they were negotiating a television contract. They had their reasons for doing it, and I certainly respect that they can make an independent decision and can have perspectives about us. But that doesn't mean that somebody from the outside is going to dictate our decision-making.
Greg Sankey, commissioner of the SEC, is here. Kirby Smart said on the podium, yeah, that means 9 more losses for the SEC. And I was like, ah, that's interesting. I haven't really thought about that and heard it put that way within your division, within the conference.
Well, so going to 9 games means you don't have a non-conference weekend. So there are a couple factors. In a non-conference weekend or a non-conference scheduling opportunity, you have 16 games. So playing a 9th conference game means you go from 16 to 8 because your league's mm-hmm. playing each other, right? Now, if you assume that in those 16 games you went 16-0 and instead went 8-8, there are 8 more losses mm-hmm. embedded.
Yep,
but
yep.
There's no certainty if you're scheduling that you're going to win all 16 of those. Now, if you play a bunch of FCS games, which we've learned our fans aren't turning out, you're not generating a lot of ticket sales off of that. What people want is big brands coming in. They want big games to attend. They want to see games against SEC opponents. And trying to find the right balance is part of our consideration of 8 versus 9 games.
And the committee doesn't want the FCS. The committee is looking hard at that.
Well, I think part of what the selection committee has done is created questions about how they evaluate strength of schedule. Is it simply, hey, get more wins. Get as many wins as you can, regardless of who you play. Some of that impression was left after last year. That's a part of our consideration. And those 8 losses that could be accumulated, depending on how they fall, and I don't assume that it's our CFP selection,
gotcha.
Like
yeah.
edge teams. It might be other teams through the continuum. That's been part of the consideration, is why should we make our schedule any more difficult when it's already the most rigorous in college football?
Well, do you even know how that metric, like, what do we know, how much do we actually know about that strength of schedule metric that they're using in the college football playoff? Because it doesn't feel like we actually can understand it when they try to explain it to us.
I do think there's a need for better context and explanation. As commissioners in what's called the CFP Management Committee, which is the 10 bowl subdivision commissioners plus Notre Dame, we had a presentation from the analytics group that manages the strength of schedule analysis. And I probably didn't listen to everything, but I am going to observe that one of the simple explanations or the simple context points was in the strength of schedule analysis, and you're averaging the strength of your opponents. A game against team 1 and a game against team 130 averages out to 65.5. If you play team 65 and 66, that averages out to 65.5. And so the statement that then followed was, when you're thinking about scheduling, play game 65 or team 65 and 66 in the rankings, not 1, which is hard, really hard to win, and 130 because it nets out the same. That's an inappropriate analysis. So winning against a highly ranked team should have more impact than winning against a low-ranked team. And that's where we have to have more information. Now, in mid-June, when that same CFP Management Committee came together, we had a bit deeper presentation of strength of schedule and strength of record analysis, but more information is needed before we can rubber stamp that. And what's interesting is I had asked about, hey, what analytics are provided, and it was kind of a non-transparent issue. So I'm in the in the mode of wanting to understand it better and like everybody to have that information.
Greg Sankey, Commissioner of the SEC. Okay, let's hit their transparency, and I'm going to talk about the college football playoff and bring up Lane Kiffin's comments where he is, and a lot of people have commented on the criteria, their transparency, the bias. Who do you think should be on that selection committee? And do you think we should know who, what, where, when, and how, and what they're voting for in the discussion?
I think the committee is populated well generally now. I think the notion that a coach who ends up on the outside says, well, there's bias, that's not verifiable. That might be an opinion. The College Football Playoff has done a pretty good job of researching opinions about the selection committee, and it has a very high level of credibility. Now, I think the threat is you assume that's constant and universal, and you're not adapting. So then I'll go deeper. We looked at recusal policies more deeply this year because you want to deal with bias issues and remove people from that conversation. We also have to understand there were some losses that informed last year's decisions and some key losses. Mm-hmm. My concern is not about the people, because one of the commentaries is, well, the NFL doesn't select its playoff teams through a committee, nor does the NBA, nor does Major League Baseball, nor does the NHL. You could go on and on. That's exactly correct. But we do in college basketball. We do in college baseball. We do in college softball. We do that across the board, because there's so many programs. There's so many teams entered in that a selection committee has been deemed appropriate. We do that in college football, so it's not something out of the norm. Now, in college basketball, it's only athletics directors and conference commissioners. In the CFP selection committee, there are no conference commissioners. So one of the statements made by someone was, commissioners shouldn't be on the committee. They're not on the committee. We do have athletics directors, and those athletics directors have been embedded in the game. They're living the football life along with their football program. Some of them have coached or played. You have outsiders. You have former players that come in, some NFL players, highly credible. You have media members. You had Condoleezza Rice, who understands football and makes a contribution. So we've tried to balance this notion that it's kind of an inside club with bringing outside participants in. Now, how can we build transparency? That's an interesting question. We don't see everybody's vote on everything, and I'm not sure that you should. I think what the committee has to look at as we start these rankings in early November, they need to make sure they're looking at those and the way they're assigned, that the protocols followed, that we have the right protocol in place. I think that's a lot more important.
Yeah. Would getting rid of early rankings, like preseason rankings, help?
That's interesting. I don't think so. It's a nice little promotional platform, you know, and then you're going to show up the last week and say, okay, here it is. And everybody's got their own polls going, and then you just dump that. I think you have to lead into shaping expectations. What I do think has changed a little bit, as you go back to 2014, 15, 16, 17, 18, there was a lot of week-to-week movement. And the committee represents that each week we're taking a fresh look. The last couple of years, there has not been as much week-to-week movement as teams are evaluated. And that's where I think more time on protocol and how that's deployed is important.
They're wrapping us up. Greg Sankey, thank you much. I do want you to brag a little bit, y'all. He went to the Truist for the first time.
Yeah.
To the All-Star festivities. What'd you think?
I thought it was great. Just the ballpark itself and walking around kind of that gallery of Hall of Fame, if you will, honoring the traditions of baseball here in Atlanta, was cool to see. Plus, there was fans, and it was a nice place to sit. I walked all around. Our host for the All-Star game itself. I was with our sponsor, T-Mobile, for the Home Run Derby. And just talking to Derek about all that's been done, the move to that location, the development, the opportunities in the future. It was great to see, great to be hosted. I got to spend some time with Rob Manfred. I had a really cool Tuesday All-Star game. I went last year in Dallas. Last year I kind of sat out in a suite. This year I was with Derek and his group for the first half. Got to spend time with Chipper Jones, Andrew Jones, got to meet. And then the last four innings was up with the commissioner of Major League Baseball talking about baseball issues and enjoying the game from a different perspective. The Hank Aaron tribute was special. And just remember, I was about 10 years old when he hit that home run. And I think Vin Scully was doing the broadcast that you got to tune in. People forget we didn't have cable the same way. So it was a great memory to see that and honor what Hank did and who he was.
Love it. You just lit up when you talked about all that. That's great.
That
great
fun.
Baseball fan. Greg, thank you so much.
Thank
and
you.
I know your time is tied here.
Still
and great,
questions.
Great job.
Great, great.
Be quiet, Bo. We're with like a real important person here. We got it. You're awesome. Thank you, Greg. Have a great rest of the trip here today, and we're winding things down. It's been a great event. Congratulations.
Great. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.